Welcome back, or maybe this is your first time. Either way, welcome to Becoming Multidimensional. I am Eliza,
And I'm Christine.
and we are so excited today to be discussing a very important topic that affects everyone, and just going deeper and sharing some of our experiences on the topic of death. And the space between, and kind of like what happens before, the multidimensionality of it, what happens after, and everything in between. And so we welcome you today.
Yeah, welcome. So before this podcast was even brought into our ideas, the title came through, and the title of this podcast will be Knocking on Heaven's Door. And the reason we are broaching this subject today is because I have been in a hospice situation with a family member for 15 days, which is a very long time to be with no food and water on hospice. And so it's very relevant to what I'm experiencing right now. And it just so happens that I'm dealing with this very long, prolonged process of dying. And Eliza this week has been having clients, at least three clients, who have been working with sudden death. And we thought, there's a really a lot to say about this topic. And we thought we're just going to try to scratch the surface of it a little bit and shed a little light into some of our ideas and our experiences and some of the things that we have noticed and some of the things we've learned recently. I mean, throughout the years, but recently there's been a big education. So we thought this could be a really relevant conversation for everyone because no one gets out of this experience, right? One thing we all have in common is we will all take our last breath one day. And it turns out, I recently found out that for at least for Americans, that our greatest fears are public speaking and fear of death. So we wanted just to bring some honest, open conversation around this, and hopefully some healing, and hopefully some new ways of looking and experiencing this process.
Absolutely. When you shared that statistic with me, of course, I was like, of course, I picked a career that would basically entail both of those things, which I'm not sure what that says about me, but I
Well, we know you're an extremist, so
am an extreme.
yes,
That
so we're
is true. This is just more evidence of that.
That's right.
So, where would you like to start today, Christine? Because I feel like we could really start anywhere with this topic.
Yeah. The morning before we start to record, I usually sit and think about, okay, what information wants to drop in, and what spirit guiding me to talk about, give me some, I sit and have just some experience with feeling what wants to be said today. And I realized today as watching this process, and look, this is not, this is this hospice when it's a prolonged dying process. Someone explained it really beautifully. It is holding the space this of the complexity of the tragedy and the beauty in it. And I think we'll explore those pieces of the tragedy and the beauty holding space for both. But as I'm watching this on a physical level, you're really watching sort of a disintegration of somebody. And it made me think this morning what I was shown is similar to this process of the metamorphosis of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Watching this person who was once so big and vibrant and very alive, begin to shrink and change and transform literally before your eyes into what I believe is something similar to a butterfly, something that which suddenly the soul is released and is light and flying and free. And I'd like to talk a little bit about sort of this idea that energy doesn't die, right? In science, I mean, it was Albert Einstein who said, energy cannot be created or destroyed. And it's like the number one law in, or the first law of thermodynamics. So if we're going to listen to science, then that person who is energy, we've talked about this before, that we are energy, this energy goes somewhere else. And I like to think about it as being similar to this process of like almost seeing like this like luminescent butterfly, like suddenly being released and flying away. And Eliza, I think you were talking a little bit about this also, about this idea of the soul, this movement from the body of the soul.
Yeah, it's not surprising that that's literally one of the only things I remember from science, because not shocking to anyone, that was not my favorite subject. But I do remember that energy, that's the one thing that I remember, can only change. And that's what we've seen with the process of life and death, because our energy, our soul is housed in this body, and then the body decays. Or something happens very suddenly that the body becomes non-viable, and then that energy is released. Mm-hmm. Now, that energy is obviously connected into the multidimensionality of our soul and our being, not housed in the body. And so that's really what I want to talk about, because whether you've experienced a really sudden death, which are really difficult for a number of reasons, and as Christine shared, I've been working with some clients recently who have had trouble processing the suddenness, the sort of, I'm here one day, I'm gone the next day. And how do you integrate your life when a major piece of your life feels missing because that loved one is not there in the same way that they once were? And so how do you go from that space into understanding that the soul is just sort of free and it just communicates differently? So with the slowness of death, it has some benefits in some ways, and then other, you know, sort of minuses in some ways. But the soul is working on such a quantum field, and we're going to talk about some stories where, whether it's been a sudden or a slow passing, where you can kind of see the magic of the soul and the multidimensionality of the soul to help explain the process. And ultimately the knowing is that we, our souls are eternal, that energy is eternal. It just has a different space that we as humans, even in the work that Christine and I do, we could never begin to explain to you where that energy goes, or say conclusively, this is where you are now. We can only share how we as humans can perceive that energy and understand that energy through our human technology.
Yeah. I love that. So, with my personal experience, there's a piece of it that I wanted to share, because I think this bit from a therapist was so beautiful that I think everyone could use this little bit of information, because everyone's going to deal with this at some point. So in my current situation right now, I have a family member who is really struggling with the process, and it was really difficult, like a long, difficult night. I mean, this is a transformative experience, not just for, by the way, the person in the dying process. This transforms your family, it transforms your friends. So understanding that everyone comes out changed, comes out different, no matter if it's sudden, if it's prolonged, this is a journey of transformation for everybody who is experiencing the dying process of someone that they care about deeply. So this family member called her therapist and said, I don't know that I can do this. I had this horrible night, and I just don't know that I can show up. I this is really hard on me. And her therapist said to her, do you remember giving birth? And she has children. She said, yes, I remember giving birth. And she said, okay, your person is in that process right now. It is the same. It is a birth into a new world, and what she needs right now, like you needed midwives and doctors to help birth your children, she needs strong women to help birth her into this new world. And that changed the energy entirely for her, because she thought, oh, I've helped people, friends and loved ones, in the birthing process. I know how to show up in that way. And so from hearing that piece reframed, just away from, I'm just here watching you die, to, no, I'm here helping you. I'm helping birth you. I'm working towards that. She was fine. She was like, that was not that she's not sad. There's sadness too. However, she was able to really show up as her best self and help emotionally help her. So I love that, just that idea for anyone who may be listening to it, who is in this process, who has to go through this process in the future, of this idea of being birthed into a new world.
And I think that's where some of our issues around death arise, in the fact that we as a society, not everyone, but for the most part, look at death as so final, like this is the end. And so it brings up all of these difficult emotions around it. Now, it is final in the sense of being in the body that we're currently in. And there is both the sort of tragedy to that and the beauty to that. But if you look at this as a process of a cyclical process of like, you're just giving birth to the next phase of your soul, then it feels not like goodbye, but see you later. And also, our loved ones are always connected to us. And that really reminds me of a profound story that I was told growing up that happened to my mother, that I would love to share.
I want to hear that story, but I just want to touch on that is so wonderful. See you later. I love that. I love the idea of being at someone's bedside and not saying goodbye. That to me feels so freeing. Instead saying, I'll see you later. Right?
Yeah.
That feels so much better. Thank you for that.
Totally. See you later. And it's still hard. Like have lost people that are immensely close to me, and I miss some of them every day. And I'm a medium, and I feel them and I communicate with them. So yeah. I also can't imagine how it feels for people that feel really disconnected, because number one, you aren't disconnected, but I understand that sometimes it can feel that way. But moving back into the multidimensionality of the soul and communication, life and in between, my parents, this was before I was born. It was their first wedding anniversary, and my grandfather, my mother's father, was sick. And he was in the hospital, and my parents were not sure if they should go on this anniversary trip. They were going to go camping with some friends in the Sierra Nevada mountains. And they had asked the doctors, you know, is he stable? Is he going to pass away while we're gone? Should we go on this trip? Should we not go on this trip? And the doctors assured my mother, they said, he's fine. He's getting better. Go on the trip. So my mom and my dad go hiking in like a very remote area. And this is also in the 90s. So there was no cell phones or really cell phone service or anything along those lines. And one night my mom explains that they had just set up the tent and they were like winding down for bed. And she looked up into the stars and she saw her father's face in the stars. Now, my mother is a very open person, but I would not compare her to me. Right. She's not like necessarily the most, she's open, but she's not spiritual in the way that I am. She's not looking for this. Right. Like, this is not something she's looking for. And she also looked at the mountain and she saw a hand slipping down the mountain. Now, she had this experience. It was obviously very profound because she's still talking about it 30 years later, and goes to sleep. Okay. The next day they're hiking, and this man appears on horseback and he says, I'm looking for the girl whose father has died. And my mom, you know, the last thing she heard was, your dad's okay. He's getting better. But she just had this knowing in her that that was her. And she says, oh, I think you're here. You're here to speak to me. I'm the girl whose father has died. Anyways, long story short, my dad, and my mom race down the mountain, get on planes, trains, and automobiles to make the funeral. And they do.
Right.
But that is such a profound example of like, my grandfather had passed away and yet his soul was communicating with my mom. So,
I mean, think about how powerful our souls really are, that he was able to show his face in the stars. And we have no idea how powerful we are, right? That story, it just made me think of seeing the face in the stars. You may remember there was a spiritual teacher named Wayne Dyer. Do you remember? He wrote a lot of books. Anyhow, he died several years ago, but there's a story his children told, and he, at the end of his life, he had moved to Maui. And so they all went out on like paddle boards or surfboards, paddled out into the ocean to sprinkle his ashes. And so they had this little celebration, sprinkling his ashes out in their surfboards. Well, they came back and they developed their pictures. And lo and behold, there is this giant photo, a picture that showed up. They couldn't see, but in the photo, his face, and it's amazing, in the water. So like his, that's what showed up when they developed the film, was his like a giant picture of his face in the water.
Wow. Saying,
hey, I'm here.
Wow.
And it's just beautiful. So here's the thing, which has been really fun for me the past 15 days. So again, there's the tragedy and the beauty, but I've been having lots of conversations with people about this space in between and this multidimensional space that people seem to be in. They're sort of a foot in each world, actually, of this, space.
You and I are on the same wavelength, because this is the exact thing that I was going to bring up next. So I love it. We're in the exact same energy.
Yes, of course. So the people that we're with, we're mostly in one dimension, and then there's this other dimension, and they're bridge between the two. And so you hear one of the things that I was flipping, in the hospice room, there's pamphlets that are given out. And these are not spiritual pamphlets. These are given to everyone whose family member is going through this process. And it talks about breathing and all these things you can expect to prepare you. Well, the piece that caught my eye that was written in this pamphlet is, when it's getting close, they start having travel language. It's like, well, that's if they can talk, right? Our person on hospice is not able to talk, but she is doing something else that's interesting. So they'll start saying things like, oh, I need to pack my bags. They're waiting for me. Or couldn't you get my shoes? It's time to go. And all there's a lot of conversation about leaving, traveling, going somewhere, and a lot of reaching. Now that I have seen. So like putting arms out, like they're hugging people. You see them like coming in for embraces. So there's something happening. Now it's not all beautiful. This is the lovely side of it, right? But there a lot of reaching, a lot of embracing. So it feels like already their loved ones are coming forward. They're being prepped in this space between the worlds, and they're having reunions that we're not seeing. And I have seen this. I'm not going to tell any stories really that aren't personal, like kind of not, like some firsthand and some told to me by the people who've experienced them, but I've heard several, and I love stories. And so when you hear stories about the space in between, when it's a verified story, I think it's always pretty amazing. Now, Eliza, I think you have a story sort of about the space in between a little bit, besides your mom.
Yeah, actually I do. And that was exactly where I was going to go to next. So I'm just loving that we're both literally just vibing in the same energy. So moving to kind of the other side and the more suddenness of death, because, you know, there's this feeling of, well, in that transition or that space that some people get to have if their loved ones are declining at more of a slower pace, and they can kind of feel the multidimensionality, you can have conversations. I remember one of my grandmothers, my dad's mother, she would always tell me, she'd be like on her deathbed, I will find you wherever you are. Like she was, when we had those conversations, they were beautiful and I'll never forget them. But then with my other grandmother, my mother's mother, who I was also very close to, there were a lot of conversations that I wasn't able to have with her because I was just kind of too young and I didn't have the life experience or really the frame of understanding for how impactful and significant certain things she had given me were in my life. And one of my, I wouldn't say regret, because I can't regret something that was like beyond my scope of understanding. But one of the things that I had always wished was that I was able to communicate to her as an adult, all of the things that I was really grateful for. Yeah. And that had always kind of been on my spirit. And she had passed away when I was 18. Anyways, fast forward some years, I was in a really tough situation in life. And I felt very isolated and very alone. I knew I wasn't because I knew Spirit was with me, but that's just the experience that I had. And I will never forget this for as long as I live. But I went to bed immediately. I felt physically like I was in my physical body, but I was asleep. And I was in a white room. And in the room was my grandmother sitting at a card table playing solitaire with her hair in rollers and her like bedgown on. And I immediately just started weeping. And she sat down with me and paused her game. And it was, when I tell you that this was more real than many of my memories with my grandma. And I had this time to tell her everything that I never got to tell her. Like, mm-hmm. I thanked her, I hugged her, I cried to her, I asked her all of the questions that I, you know, didn't get a chance to ask because I was too young to understand that you should even ask those questions. Right. And the truth is, like, I don't remember everything that she said. What I do remember is so significant that I'll carry it with me for the rest of my life. And then I needed it. Like, she came right when I really needed her to. And right, I remember I could feel the energy changing. And I looked at her and I was like, you have to go now, don't you? And she nodded her head and I gave her one last hug and we parted ways. And I remember seeing, I didn't even tell you this part, Christine, but I remember seeing this like very dark ocean, look like an ocean, and I saw her spirit travel over it. And I woke up, probably sweaty and sobbing and, you know, just like so changed forever. Yeah. But to me, what that says, number one, is that time is kind of only our own imagination. Mm-hmm. And that space between happened for me, you know, a couple of years after her passing, but it was like the exact perfect timing for those conversations to happen. And she was listening. She knew what I needed.
That story, I feel like can give so many people a sense of comfort, because I do know that when people have these sudden losses, right, or they didn't get to say certain things that they wish they had said, that there's always this opening for these conversations to still happen, right? That because they're gone, it doesn't mean it's over, that you can't still have this communication. You can't still receive wisdom. I think in this conversation, I won't get, because I want to keep it a little bit more focused on the space in between, but there's a lot to say about that piece of it. So I know with your clients this week, these three who are trying to process this sudden loss, just knowing that there are so many more opportunities for this resolution between them to happen.
And spirit communicates in different ways. So, you know, sometimes I've shared that story with my grandma there, even to clients, and clients will be like, well, I've never had that. Like, why doesn't my loved one love me as much as your grandma loved you? And I'm like, it's not like that. I believe that our technology, our body, our soul is able to almost capture what we can from the other energy at that time. So for someone, it might be hearing a song, right? You associate a song with a loved one and you hear that in the grocery store and it's just that random moment. And that is that profound sense of knowing and communication that that loved one is with you. Right? That's no better. We as humans want to place judgment on like these profound experiences or not profound experiences or doubt it or question it. But there's no hierarchy. I believe spirit just gets us whatever information they can at the time that we need it best. Because I probably thought I needed that visitation many, many times before I really did. But when she came, when I tell you, it was like the most significant opportune time for her to come. And I've only had that one. I wish she would come every night, but
right,
you know, I believe that they communicate the way they can and the way we need to. So we just need to open up ourselves to receive, just like my mom must have been open enough to see my grandfather's face in the stars.
I think that's a really good point. I think that's a really good point because some people just don't dare to think that could be possible. So if you're wanting a sign, it's believing that a sign is actually possible, right? I believe in like the song. So it was interesting. I asked a client of mine this morning, because I know she's recently went through the loss, a pretty long hospice situation with the loss of her brother who had a disease. It was a very long process. And one of the things she was really grateful for in having time and having to say everything she needed to say, but I thought this was really wise. She said, I really also used that time to ask him a lot of questions, to like, tell me about your favorite recipes. Tell me about like your favorite music. Tell me about all these things. So she would have these touch points in the future to embrace him more, to connect to him when he physically wasn't there. And she, talking about the song, she said, the last song we sang together was a Red Hot Chili Peppers song. And she said, so for me, when I hear a Red Hot Chili Peppers song, she's like, I really feel, well, she actually said, I know it's him. And so for her, she has this real sense of like, oh, he's here, right? And she truly believes that, which is so, there's such a comfort in that feeling your loved one close, right?
Absolutely. And I want to share another piece of it too, because I think this is something that some people don't understand. But one of my amazing mentors and teachers, who's a medium, he would always say, you know, basically the connection to spirit is a thought away. And I love that, because so much of the time your loved ones in spirit are using your thinking, but we aren't trained to understand that when you think of a memory with your loved one that's passed away, you're just thinking, oh, wow, I really miss that memory. Like I'm thinking of that memory. When in actuality, a lot of times it's because that loved one is communicating with you, and that's the best way that they know how to communicate, is through your frame of reference.
Oh, that is such a great, that's a great bit of information, that they're actually, when you're having those thoughts, that's actually there coming through and giving you those reminders.
They're there. And I remember when I was, same grandma, when I was going through that really hard time, throughout the day, I would just suddenly be like watching a montage of like sweet memories with her from my childhood, because she knew that I needed a lot of comfort during that time. And so I'd be, you know, like at Trader Joe's, and suddenly I'd see me and her in like the swimming pool, and I would just feel this comfort and love. And it completely shifted my energy away from like stress and doom and gloom into, wow, like, what a beautiful life that I've shared with so many people.
I mean, it's like she's coming back and giving you a hug. I mean, that's like, to me, that's what it feels like. It's your loved one coming in and kind of wrapping their arms around you and reminding you of that energy, you know, pulling your energy back into that vibration, right? It's super intelligent, right? To actually help you.
Well, the spirit world is so intelligent. If I know one thing, it's that they work on a basis of incredible intelligence.
Yes, it's incredible intelligence. About that. So because I've been in this process, I've been thinking about lots of different stories about people in this transition process. And there's a lot of incredible stories of like end days, moments of things that have happened. So maybe I'll share a few of these stories. So yesterday, when I was sort of holding vigil, this person that is in this process of dying, one of her friends was there, and I have this idea for a podcast I'm going to do tomorrow. And so she said, well, when my great grandmother died, she said, I was really close to my great grandmother. She raised me until I was 13. And when she was in her 20s, her great grandmother died, and she didn't know she was going to die, but the great grandmother woke her up in the middle of the night, and she woke up and she saw her great grandmother at the foot of her bed standing there, and
blew her spirit. Her spirit.
Like, but she was standing there, right, in front of her. Awoke, saw her there, blew her a kiss, and then she knew. She was like, she just said goodbye. The same woman, she said her father died by suicide. And this now happened more in a dream. She wasn't awake, but she felt it was very real. She's had a dream the night that he died, and he came to her and said, I'm so sorry, but it's all going to be okay. And then the next day she finds out that he had died. So she already knew, because the dream, sometimes you have a dream that you're like, that wasn't a dream. I was somewhere else. I was having a different kind of experience. Sometimes our dreams are just sort of very nonsensical and a mishmash of things that we've experienced through the day, or thoughts we're thinking, or we saw a scary movie trailer, right? Whatever. Some is like compilation of just information our brain is sorting through. But sometimes it's not a dream. It's really, you're in a different space with someone like you and your grandmother. You were like, and it, you know it because it's so strong, the energy, it transforms you, it shifts you. You know you're in a different state. So this woman had that experience with her father, and then she woke up and found that out.
Wow. Okay.
One of my favorite stories, now this I can't explain, but a close friend of mine, her dad experienced, like, he was this incredible guy, very adventurous. He always was like sailing around the world, hiking up mountains, like super adventurer. I loved him. He was a great man. He developed some sort of brain disease that was really rapid. I'm talking months. He went from like being great to like died in a very short window. So they brought him home and he was on hospice. And she was saying that he had these incredible stories. She said, and we're just going with it, right? And he would come back and tell these tales of where he had been, because he was still able to talk. But no, like one of the stories he told, he would come back and be like, oh, you wouldn't believe just where I was. He talked about doing some like heist, like a, he was like, oh, we were doing a bank robbery. I was with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, and we were like doing a heist, like these event, like wild stories. And then he would come back and like, oh, I was on Elon Musk's yacht. And we were like, he was with all of these people doing these extraordinary things and coming back and telling these very tall tales, right? And so they were like, oh, that's amazing. That's great. Of course, they went along with everything. But one day he came back and he said, well, you should know that I died last night. And they said, oh, he said, I died last night. And he said, and I had a conversation with God. And I said, I need a couple more days. And he said, God said I could come back for, I don't know, it was 3, 4, 5 days. But if I came back, then I was going to need to help like 5 other people who were about to transition. He said, so I made the deal. So I'm going to help those people. And I got these few more days. So anyhow, so then he ends up dying and my friend was with him. And she said in the middle of the night, she was sitting by the bed with him. And she said she felt this surge of energy go from her tips of her toes, run up her body. And she, by the way, she's not spiritual at all. Run from the tips of her toes, up her body, up to the top of her head, and then down through her feet. Like she's felt this like surge. And then she's like, he's gone. I know he's gone. And sure enough, he was gone. Wow. And then this is really cute. So the next day he loved this. I may get this wrong. He loved this particular bottle of wine. I think it's called like, it's like Chateau La Pouf or something. There's like some, maybe you even know it, like something La Pouf. And anyhow, my brother-in-law and his wife made this beautiful dinner for them. And they said, oh, you should grab a bottle of wine too. And they've had a, you know, a good size collection of wine. They didn't had no idea. So he ran down, you know, to this sort of wine cellar to just grab a bottle to bring with this dinner they were dropping off. Well, she was sitting outside on her lawn with all of her family. And so they went to bring this lovely dinner and they brought the dinner. And then my sister-in-law said, oh wait, you forgot the wine. So he rent, so the wine was even like a side note. He goes and grabs a bottle and he comes back and brings this one bottle of wine. That's whatever Le Pouf, Chateau Le Pouf, whatever it is. And like, that was his thing. Like that bottle of wine was his, like his favorite bottle, any celebration they would have it. So like they knew that he orchestrated this very special bottle of wine to be delivered to them as a sign, like, okay, let's celebrate. This is like, I'm here. This is good. It was like, anyhow, but he had such fun stories of who knows where he was, what he was actually doing, but he certainly was not bored in this process of all these places he was going.
I love it. And it's so true. Like those. I've heard so many stories about things like that wine where mm-hmm. someone has no idea and, you know, they have something and it makes someone else think of this loved one. That was the only thing that they like to drink and blah, blah, yes. blah, blah. So it's common, but it's so like profound.
It is. And it's just, and you know, you're like, I know that and when it happens to you and you have that experience, you may hear it. I'm like, I don't know if that's really real, but when it happens to you, you're like, no, that was them. And I know it. Like, I know that was them. Yeah. So I have a few more stories to talk about the space in between of this being multidimensional, of this wisdom of your soul and maybe your soul on a level communicating with your loved one's soul. So my great grandmother grew up in New Orleans, and this is probably the late 40s, as I'm guessing, when this happened. So she grew up sort of in a rural area in Louisiana, and she was really close to her grandmother. And so she was living in New Orleans. She had two kids, and she was at a restaurant, and she suddenly had this knowing of, I have got to get on a train. She couldn't call and go see my grandmother. Something's happening. I need to go now. So she has two little kids. So she has to find somebody, you know, she knows she'll be gone for a couple of days to watch her kids. Like jumps on a train. Like I don't even, she packed a bag, like rushed and got to her grandmother's, and her grandmother died within the hour of her getting there. And so she was able to go and say her goodbyes. But I believe that my great grandmother's soul was communicating, like, you need to come now, because that would have been devastating for her to have not been able to say goodbye. Right. Because not for the grandmother necessarily, I think, but for my grandmother to be able to say goodbye. So she got the message, right? Like, hey, it's time to come. She heard it. She listened, she went, and then she had peace with it, I think. But there's so many stories also about people talking to their loved ones, right? My grandfather, when he died, the last thing he said was, "Hi, Dad," right? So you knew he was, and again, he was not a spiritual man, right? Like he saw someone coming forward. I mean, the stories go on and on. I'll share one last one. I think this is a really, like, this is a sudden death story. But I think it really beautiful, and I know it gave them so much peace. So I went to college in Santa Barbara, and I made friends with this guy who was a local from Santa Barbara, and he loved mountain bike riding. And he was out biking. I'm sure he was like an aggressive rider. He rode off the mountain accidentally, and he died. So at his funeral, the family told the story how his favorite food was avocados. And so the day after he died, they just were so distraught, of course. And the parents and his siblings went outside and were eating avocados because he loved them. And he said this little bird flew down and on the table and just started eating avocados with them. And for a long time, just sat there and was with them. Another story. One of my best friends. This will be the last one. And by the way, I have a list of tons of stories, but we could go on and on. But this, the bird story. So one of my best friends, she was in college. Again, this was in college. And she was in Arizona, and her aunt lived in San Francisco. And she suddenly got really ill. She got a call, and they're like, your aunt's about to die. And she knew there was no way that she could get there. And then they called and they said, you know, hey, she's gone, and, you know, arranging your, well, this is a funeral. We're going to, you know, get you a ticket, and so you're going to come home. And she was devastated because she loved this aunt so much. And she was crying, and she walked outside, and this bird flew over. I want to say it was like a dove. Flew over to the fence and was sitting there. And she was like, I know it was Lainey, was her aunt. She's like, I know that's Lainey. And so she went over and started petting this wild dove. And she said she sat there for half an hour petting this wild dove and talking to the dove, she was Lainey. She was like telling her all the things she loved about her and thanking her for things. So she had this moment with this bird that she knew was her aunt coming to say goodbye to her because she couldn't get there in time. So yeah. Stories are endless, they go on and on.
They do. They do. But that is so beautiful. And I love the imagery of the bird and this wild free bird, because we started with the freedom of the butterfly and the just kind of birth into the process of just the expansiveness and the unknown. And so I love that we're kind of coming full circle and ending with the bird. And how does the bird still connect in with our human experience and with your friend just being there with the bird, talking to the bird, communicating with the bird, petting the bird? That is the most beautiful imagery of what we're really here to talk about today.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess if I had a takeaway that I would want to leave people with from this conversation is that death isn't the end. That if you feel unresolved with someone who is gone, if you feel like there were things you weren't able to say, if, you know, or if you come up against this in the future, that it's not the end. That there are lots of ways to continue to communicate, and they really do hear you and they really do feel you, right? So if you have that deep desire, between you and them, you can find a way to have connections through the dream state, through visitations, through lots of different ways, but they are looking to communicate with you. And if you've had a difficult relationship, I think they also want resolution. So there's a real willingness in other work that Eliza and I do that we'll talk about, that they also seek that healing with you if you have been in a difficult situation.
Yeah, I second that. And I would just say what I want to leave with is to listen and to feel, because we sometimes can see right in our mind, memories, pictures, but the feeling is what never leaves us, like the feeling of our loved ones. And that's what we can still have. So yeah. Look for the feeling.
Look for the feelings, right? Just like you with Trader Joe's, right? You went back in those moments that were hard. You could, the energy of her love, of the time spent together, never dies.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for staying with us. We love that you're here with us. We really, really are deeply grateful to be on this journey with you. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. And we look forward to our next time together.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.